Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Save big money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Right on set.
Rolling. Action.
Hello. Welcome back to Uncut and welcome back to another industry interview. Today with us, we have actress and producer Callie Schutera.
Callie played Alex's mom in what is the best horror movie of the year, Weapons.
This is actually quite a special interview for us because afterwards we got to talking, and you're not going to get to see this, but we just supported one of her productions through her company, Poison Pictures, and we were her production assistants for 2 days for a feature film that we'll be releasing soon.
So hopefully we can bring her back and talk about it when it's released. It was so much fun talking to Callie, learning her process and how she prepares for a role, as well as preparing for a role that is so violent.
Before we go on to the interview, please make sure to like, subscribe, and comment so you can get more interviews like this from people that worked on your favorite movies.
Without further ado, Callie Schutera.
Hi, I'm Callie Schutera, and I play Alex's mom in Weapons. And I got my start... just like everybody else does, you know, you do like a play or some small project when you're little and you just kind of get the bug. And I never lost it. I always knew that was what I wanted to do from that point on. And I was lucky that my family supported me, even if they didn't really understand what the goal was or what I wanted to do. My parents are not art people. They're not in the industry at all. So they were begrudgingly supportive, concerned, but supportive. And I moved out to LA when I graduated college. And I was lucky that I landed an agent manager pretty quickly, who did eventually drop me, by the way, because I just wasn't getting enough auditions, enough work. Mm-hmm. And I think that happened twice in my career where I was dropped by an agent or a manager. But I was just lucky that I would keep hopping from one to one, or I'd have a friend who could get me in at their agency. And I did it kind of the old fashioned way. I think you scrape together a manager and agent and you just keep getting sent out on auditions. And the way I got Weapons was through an audition that came out about 3 weeks before filming started. And it was called the Untitled Zach Krieger Project at that point. My manager sent it over. And I said, oh my gosh, I love this director. I would love to be a part of this. And we sent in a tape. And a few days later, I was meeting with Zach.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. I want to know, this role is complicated. You went through a lot of emotions on screen. I want to know, before we get into some specific scenes that I want to ask you about, how did you go about preparing for this role? What kind of process is that like for you?
I do a lot of journaling for each character. I have the one for my next character right here next to me. And I usually will fill up at least one notebook with past experiences and you know, things that they've gone through, childhood stuff. But then I'm also really particularly interested in whatever is happening for them right now, what makes up who they are right now. And I think there's a Easter egg in or not, maybe not an Easter egg, maybe just a line where you realize that Mrs. Lily's mom has died pretty recently. And it's one of the reasons that she takes Gladys in.
Yeah.
Because she feels like it's kind of going to regain a piece of her mom.
When she says, my mom used to do this for her.
Exactly. Exactly. So I figured that that was probably a pretty big influence on her. And I did a lot of thinking about how that was affecting her. And I also kind of wondered, what if she was messing around with spiritual esoteric stuff and trying to like speak to her mom through the veil? Mm. And what if she accidentally kind of called in this dark spirit by trying to get back a piece of her mom? So that was a secret. Like, that's something I never told Zach. But I kind of thought that that was interesting, that she was so desperate to reconnect with her mom that maybe she almost invited this into her life somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It might be all my fault, really, that it all happened.
If you really think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, it's quite crazy to have like the real person here after seeing such an impactful character. You're actually only the second actor we interviewed for the podcast. The first one was one of the supporting roles for Late Night with the Devil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's so interesting because you think about these such impactful scenes and then have you here talking about it. One of the scenes I want to talk about is the fork stabbing. Mm. Oh my God. there was a kid in the scene. Like, how was that scene accomplished? And I don't know. I want to know about like the psyche of Alex, the kid itself, because I can imagine how impactful it can be for them too.
I worried about him a lot. Just in terms of whether or not he was going to be scarred, but he never showed any signs of being fazed by any of it. He was very professional. He's very upbeat. But actually what I thought was even scarier than the fork stabbing is that line that Gladys says afterwards. I don't want to give away spoilers, but you know, she says kind of like, I can make your parents do whatever I want them to do. And I could make them like eat each other if I wanted to. And that haunts me to this day. And I was there with a camera in front of my face and people all around us. And I just thought, still, that's so haunting. And like I said, Carrie did a great job. We filmed that quite a few times, some with minimal holes, and then we do some that had more blood dripping down. At one point, we used a styrofoam fork, and that way we could really go at it and really, you know, puncture. And then I think at one point we had a real fork that we sort of just touched and went forward. And it was actually quite involved. And there was one that had a little CGI stick, I think, on the end of it. I don't know if I'm using the correct term for that. But then I believe what they did is composited all the shots together so that it would look like one clean fork going really quickly. Mm-hmm. And it looks so clean in the final edit that I think you'd never know how many pieces went into filming just that fork stabbing.
Yeah.
Oh, because it jolted you when it happened. Like, and it happened so quick for both you and your husband actor. So it was a fantastic scene. It was, like, and it really sticks with you when you're watching.
The sound design is really good too, I think. Yeah. Seeing it in the after and hearing the insertion of the fork, they did a great job with the sound design of that.
Now, another scene that I really loved was what I'm going to assume is an homage to The Shining. You breaking the door with your, like, through the door with your face. And I think that was an immediate, that's the moment.
I mean, it's in the trailer, too. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of these good moments are in the trailer, too. So I think, like, the mystery is finding out why they happened. Mm-hmm. Because we see the fork stabbing and The Shining moment in the trailer. But the door breaking down was fun. They had doors that are sort of pre-broken, ready to go. So they're very easy to break apart. But that was actually the only scene that I had a stunt double for. My stunt double was Lydia Hand. She was lovely. And Whit and I both had a stunt double for that scene. But still, despite that, I still did get a little scraped up putting my hand through the door and reaching for him. You know, you go for it and you're committed. And you scrape yourself up a little bit. But Zach definitely was not shy that that is an homage to The Shining for sure.
Yeah.
And my favorite cut of it is the one where Alex is looking up and I come through and he's looking up at me. I think that's, I mean, you never would want to see a parent in that, in that kind of a mode coming after you. So I think to me, that one feels the most traumatic.
Yeah,
for sure. And then the scene goes on to Alex going into the bathroom and you two just go full rage mode.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That was very intense. Yeah. How do you approach one of those scenes? And what kind of work do you do to kind of bring it back in and be able to still produce so much emotion?
I would say that's the one scene that required just complete letting go. So I almost just let go of any logic in my head. Even when we were sort of stuck in that still fugue state, I felt like I had really particular ideas of what was going on and what was holding me back. But for the door scenes, we just let it rip. You know, I think I just let a rage that we don't really get to let take over us very often happen. And then we went back and filmed some more screams in post-production to add it on top of what we already had. And even that was just sort of a almost cathartic in a way, because it's it's just something you don't get to experience in your adult life, or maybe even your childhood life, very much of just a true letting out of everything inside of you. So I had no logical thoughts in my head for that.
It seems like the best way to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I felt it. That made the most sense to me, but maybe another actor would do it differently.
Obviously, this movie had a lot of actors and a lot of extras and people involved. So I imagine there must have been a whole team working together to accomplish the working with the actors, the working with the extras, makeup, hair, and everything. What was your experience with the director and with the team to accomplish this role?
It's the biggest film I've ever done budget-wise, and just in terms of scale, it was huge. But even though I knew that going in, and I was definitely feeling like I had to live up to something specific, when I got there, I just kind of went like, oh yeah, it's just a set. It's just a set with a few more people. And the vibe still felt like when you're making indie films or you're on something that you created yourself. My wife and I make films. And I remember walking on and being like, oh yeah, I know what sets are like. Like I can handle this. This is just a bigger set. But the vibe is still watching Zach get excited about his project and talking to each department head and bringing his vision to life. And then all the department heads were also so excited to be there working on it. The people in makeup and hair and costumes, everyone was just so excited. It was kind of like being at theater camp. It was a blast to watch everybody get to come in and do their thing at different times.
When was the shooting for this movie, and where did it take place?
It happened relatively recently in terms of movie trajectories. It was in Atlanta, and we started filming, I believe it was the very beginning of May. So we started filming in May. We finished filming, I want to say mid-July, and I was there for most of it, just because Whit and I both have, you know, at least a small scene sort of with every other chapter. People see us kind of zonked out on the couch in one way or another. So we were there for a long time. And then I saw a screening of it in November, and it was pretty much done by then. So that was wild. And I think it just speaks to how excited Zach was and how clear his vision was that he wanted to execute. I mean, truly just a few months, and all that was left to be done was maybe some music things, a couple of CGI elements, but mostly completely done within a couple of months.
That's very impressive.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I never expected that. I thought it was going to be such a long process, but I was so glad to be able to see it a year later.
Yeah. Callie, one other scene I want to talk about is the scene of you getting into the car and getting a piece of hair.
Yeah. Everyone in our theater was like on edge and gasping. We were like assuming the absolute worst.
It was a packed theater and you could just hear like, oh,
no. Like,
Zach told me that was happening. Before the premiere, he said, by the way, the same thing is happening in every single theater. You come out, people freak out, you stop, they laugh, you move, they laugh again, and then you open the car door and everyone freaks out. And I sort of thought like, oh, that's nice, that's cool, I'm glad that's happening. And every theater I've been in has been the exact same way. And I think part of it is because it's a one shot, right? Mm-hmm. So that whole scene is one shot. It's me going around the car, that's my hand coming through the other side. And we timed it all very specifically. And it's so nice to have a scare that isn't a jump scare or a gory scare and that it got everyone so across the board. I'm so happy to be a part of that moment.
Yeah, and it's a surprisingly funny movie. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
So there's many moments where we were like absolutely dying and then followed up with like, shock
horror. I think it helps, right? It helps you relax, and then once you're relaxed, you get scared again because you're, you know, you've been, the tension's been cut, so you can then get scared again. And I think Austin Abrams is obviously the comedic relief here, and he's hilarious. But then there's so many other small moments, and just the different actors saying "what the fuck" in hilarious ways. Or Benedict Wong, you know, reaching for his hot dogs. I think there's just so many moments that were given so much care and allowed to flourish as funny moments.
For sure. Is it difficult to act when your only tool is like standing there? Because you came across as very scary all throughout, but for a good part of the film, you had to just be there.
Yeah.
Almost like a weapon ready to attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say I think also Whit and I approached it in really different ways. I kind of needed to get into it and sort of get lost in this kind of hazy headspace. So I sort of felt like I was like sinking into the stillness before we started. And Whit's a comedian. So he would just be able to crack a joke right before and then get right into it. So we approached it really differently, but it was a not a challenge, but a concern of mine was to make sure that it wasn't so comedic that we weren't scary. Mm-hmm. So I think it, for me, it was sort of about being lost inside of myself. And that was what made it creepy for me.
For sure.
Love that.
Well, Callie, what is an advice or a message that you will have for aspiring actress?
An aspiring actress. One, conquer embarrassment, because acting is inherently embarrassing. And once you can overcome that part, or not overcome, but really sit with that part of yourself and be okay with it, doors are going to open up. Because you will embarrass yourself. And if you're willing to do that, that's half the battle as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say is follow your own trajectory. Don't get caught up in having to do it the right way or having to network in a specific way. Just follow what you love to do, what you truly love, whether it's comedy or you know, making your own content, doing skits, whatever brings you true joy, follow that and the opportunities will follow.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And then here is one of the most difficult questions that we found out people don't know how to answer. What is your favorite movie and why?
I've seen Letterboxd. I've prepared for this moment. My favorite movie of all time is Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, which is a story about three wonderful drag queens played by Wesley Snipes, Patrick Schwarzenegger and, or sorry, Patrick Swayze and John Leguizamo. And it is, to me, some of the best acting in the world. It is super important themes being told in a really comedic way. And truly just some of the most original ideas that I think are out there. And weirdly, so ahead of its time. So that's my general favorite. If I went genre specific, it would be different things, but I can rewatch that movie over and over.
Awesome.
I don't think I've heard of that one. No, I'm gonna have to check that one out.
For sure.
It wins longest movie title, but it's not pretentious at all. So it's worth a watch. It's fun and truly it's just some of the best acting in any movie of any genre.
Great. Awesome. Kelly, what is coming next for you?
My wife and I are working on a feature film that we start filming on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
And that is a horror thriller, sort of a political dystopian piece. And we'll be working on that for the next few weeks.
That's exciting.
Yeah. We're really excited.
Will you be acting in it?
Yes, I will. So we wrote it together. We produced it together. My wife's directing and I will be playing a sibling who is hosting a group of Americans trying to flee the country.
Wow.
I'm already intrigued.
Yeah. We've cool. been saying so people can stay in touch.
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at Callie Shatera. And other than that, hopefully pieces of this film, it's tentatively called The Safe House, will be out shortly.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Callie. It's been quite exciting.
This is Callie Shatera. Thank you so much for having me. And cut.
Thank you so much for watching this episode.
You can follow us on all social media as AndCut the Podcast. And additionally, you can find us on YouTube and TikTok as That Film Couple for vlogs and extra content. You can also follow me on Instagram as sebi.mp4 and on Twitch as sebas_1k.
And you can follow me at caitlin.mp4 on Instagram as well.
My name is Sebastian.
And my name is Caitlin.
And this is
AndCut.